Hello, and welcome to another episode of Healthy Steps Cast, a podcast about health coaching. My name is Adam Kavarkas, and I'm a research assistant with the Healthy Steps Program Research Team based at Western University in London, Ontario, Canada, and I'm very happy that you've decided to join us for this episode. One of the most important roles a health coach plays is that of a motivator. You can totally do this. These goals seem really achievable, and I'm really confident in the plan you've made are all phrases that many a coach have spoken to their client or participant. However, motivation to begin behaving in a different way and maintaining a behavior change are thought to be two very different processes. In this episode, we will be talking about how the motivation to begin a behavior differs from the motivation to continue engaging in a behavior. Understanding both will allow you to better help your patients to change and maintain a health behavior. To begin, let's take a look at some of the theory underpinning behavior motivation. A little later, I'll be talking with Wendy Blunt, a research coordinator at Western University, about ways to apply this theory. The motivation to initiate a new behavior is thought to be guided by a mental expectancy value calculation. Expectancy value theory was developed in the 1950s by John William Atkinson and proposes that motivation is the product of two factors. The first is expectations, the outcome that an individual expects will happen if they engage in a given behavior. For example, an individual may believe that becoming more active will help them lose weight. And the second is a value, or how much importance an individual places on an expected outcome. For example, an individual may place a high value on losing weight. As the theory proposes, if an individual expects a positive outcome and really values that outcome, they will be motivated to engage in a behavior. If an individual thinks that exercise and eating healthy will help them lose weight, and they really want to lose weight, they will be more motivated to start exercising and eating better. This calculation makes sense, and you probably take advantage of this mental process already without even realizing it. By promoting the benefits of becoming more active, sitting less, eating healthier, quitting smoking, or getting more sleep, and focusing more on the benefits that an individual, participant, or client is attracted to, you are shaping their expectancy value calculation. However, this formula is related to behavior initiation. What about the motivation to continue a behavior once a change has been made? Well, Alexander Rothman of the University of Minnesota Twin Cities proposes that the motivation to maintain a behavior is a little different from the motivation to start behaving in a different way. After all, expectations of the outcome become moot after an individual has actually experienced the outcomes of a behavior. Consequently, Rothman proposes that maintenance motivation is a product of outcomes and satisfactions. Outcomes are the actual outcomes of engaging in a certain behavior. For example, that exercising for a month actually results in losing 5 pounds. Satisfaction is related to how content an individual is with the actual outcome of a behavior. For example, an individual might be quite satisfied with losing 5 pounds over a month. To talk about how these theoretical principles can be applied in practice, I was fortunate enough to sit down with Wendy Blunt. Wendy is a research coordinator at Western University and an essential member of the Healthy Steps research team. I hope you enjoy our talk. Wendy, it's so nice for you to take the time to chat with me today. Why don't you start by telling our listeners a little bit about what you do as it relates to the Healthy Steps program?
Sure. So I am the research coordinator helping kind of finish off our control trial here in running in London, Forest, and in Tilsonburg. So mainly I'm working on evaluating the project and seeing if it's been implemented as planned and whether we're meeting the outcomes we intended. So outcomes could be meeting increased step counts for the population involved, maybe some weight loss, just kind of seeing what the program was able to achieve and if it's achieved the goals we set out for. And also kind of helping out with some of the background coaching. I'm lucky enough to get to work with some participants and help them make their healthy lifestyle goals, which I found is really cool to be actually active in the program itself and also being able to step back and evaluate it. That's what I do.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. So in terms of the topic that we're tackling in this episode, what are your thoughts about the importance of motivation when trying to make a positive behavior change?
So motivation is the action of doing something. So if I even think about myself, I was motivated to get out of bed this morning because I saw a reward. Well, if I get out of bed, I can get to work and I can get paid for my work. So seeing that reward kind of balance. And if you're not motivated to do something, then you're not going to do it. And motivation can be internal. So for myself this morning and getting up, or myself making a health behavior change is inside. I know that I want to make this change. It's a goal of mine to make a change, to get up, to go for a run, to be active. And then external motivation would be someone else telling me, Wendy, great job, like keep going, keep doing it. And that's kind of where I like the Healthy Steps program, because the coaches provide that external motivation to try and increase that internal motivation of the participant to make health changes. And it can be really hard for some people to feel motivated on their own, just because they may not have the support. The whole kind of holistic look at health, and motivation is a key part of that, and the coach really helps the person make some of those changes. I hope that kind of touches on how important it is. If you don't have motivation, you can't make the changes.
Yeah, that was great. I'm thankful that you brought up internal and external motivations, you know, the difference between those concepts and how they can actually interplay with each other.
Sure. And it can also be negative, too. Mm-hmm. You can be negatively motivated to not do something. If someone says, you know what, for example, for me, if someone says, Wendy, don't do that, that's not right. Or internally, a participant can, or anyone, can be negatively motivated by something. They have a bad experience, they don't want to do it again. So just to expand on that a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. So as we've discussed previously in this episode, motivating individuals to first initiate and then continue a behavior change really relies on properly managing expectations. So it's important to find a good balance between establishing a realistic outcomes to motivate an individual to actually make a behavior change, but still be satisfied with the actual outcome. So why don't you give us, just to kind of bring these concepts to life, some examples of how not to coach a patient to achieve a long-term success based on these principles?
Sure, yeah. A lot of times it's hard to understand the participant's perspective because everyone is so varied in their goals and in what they want to achieve and who they are as an individual. Someone may look at a concept different than someone else. So in how to not coach a participant would be putting, say I was coaching, so putting my own ideals on someone else. So saying, this is what I did, this is going to work for you. Well, it doesn't work like that. So it's building that relationship with the participant is really key to achieving long-term success and personalizing it, which the Healthy Steps program really does do. Just not paying attention to what the participant's needs are, that's definitely really not going to work out in the long term. And we've also seen in evaluating some of the programs that we've done is it needs to be catered to the participants and their abilities. Another thing would be telling a participant that through this program you're going to lose 30 pounds because someone else lost 30 pounds. So telling them something that may not happen, because what happens is the participant thinks, okay, I'm going to join this program, I'm going to lose 30 pounds, my life's going to be great, all's going to be well, but what if they don't lose that 30 pounds? Or it's just kind of, at that point, they've lost their motivation because they haven't been able to reach that goal that was told to them by the coach. So that's really important, is to not kind of overshoot realistic, or keeping it realistic for the participant is important. Just kind of going back to managing expectations, I did a little bit of reading just to make sure I'm prepared for this to talk about it. And another thing with coaching is you've got to make sure that you're giving realistic and not too low an expectation. So what happens when an expectation is too low is that the participant achieves it, they think they're doing great, and they may not reach for something higher. So an individual is satisfied when they have achieved what they've set out to do, but also they've been able to push themselves to be able to achieve it. So it's kind of a balance in making sure that the participant is able to set a goal that's realistic, but also able to push themselves to achieve better. So yeah, I hope that kind of gets at it, is just making sure, A, not to put your own expectations onto the participant. Your experience isn't going to be their experience. And also making sure you don't guarantee unrealistic outcomes, because it's different for everyone. So I'd say that's the main two things that I would kind of take out of it.
That's great. So, you know, you've touched on how important it is to set realistic outcome, realistic expectations. That's something that is important to do. That is, you know, something that you would espouse as something that coaches should focus on. Do you have any other suggestions for some of the coaches out there for ways to properly manage their participants' or their clients' expectations?
Sure. I'd say one thing is listen. Like, just take the time to listen to the participant. The good thing with Healthy Steps is that it allows you some time to interact and to kind of see, I'm just going to go back to an example that I had in coaching someone the other day, is that the person right away had come in and told me, you know what, Wendy, I'm not achieving my goals. I'm not achieving the goals I set out. And so there's this automatic kind of disappointment in themselves. But then we sat down and we talked about it, and we kind of realized, oh, you know what, the weather's really, really hot. So that's kind of affecting their goals. They're not able to be as active. They may not have access to healthy or fruits and vegetables, may be expensive. So really just taking the time to listen to the participant and see what's going on in their lives, because that's really... It can be completely unrelated to physical activity or healthy eating. They can have some problems in the home. So just taking that time to listen is so important. But with the Healthy Steps program, it kind of keeps you on. It flows really well. So first you start off with talking about some exercise. And that can bring out some different topics with the participants. And then you move on to physical activity. And they can talk about step counts, things like that, things that may be affecting their level of activity. And then you move on to healthy eating, which I find is kind of a different ballpark in itself, just because there's so many different factors affecting what the participant can eat. So, just really listening, using the tools that the Healthy Steps program provides. There's lots of resources. Using Canada's Food Guide is great. I'd say just really listening and not being afraid to ask the participant, okay, what's going on? Or just kind of getting to the bottom of things, I think is really important.
Excellent. Those are great tips, Wendy. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
No problem. Thank you, Adam.
I want to thank you very much for taking the time to listen. And on behalf of the Healthy Steps team, we hope you tune in again. If you would like to learn more about the Healthy Steps program and even becoming a certified Healthy Steps coach, please visit us at www.healthysteps.ca and explore our online training program. If you would like to reach out to provide feedback or recommend a topic, you can email us at healthysteps@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can follow our team on Twitter at Healthy Steps or me at Adam Gvarkovs. Till next time, talk soon.